What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the show. We are your hosts, Chase and Miles, and we are at the Lucky Duck. Welcome, folks. Welcome, Miles. Please introduce our next guest.
Today we have on someone very special. He is very, very special.
He's special.
Yeah, let's just say he's very special. And why is he special, folks? No, it is not LeBron James, like we said we were going to have on the next podcast, just to bait you into watching it. Mm-hmm. It is a guy that we've known pretty much for our entire life. Growing up, we lived like a few streets away from him. We hung out, we went camping, and then we went to school together. And then we lost him for a while. We lost him to a crazy life of sex and drugs and addiction, cocaine and heroin.
And a little bit of meth.
And a little bit of meth. Kind. But then he cleaned up his act, went to law school, the number one law school in the U.S., Florida State University, graduated, and now he is an attorney at law. I think that's how you say it. This is our cousin Dominic.
Thank you, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
I think it's been a long time coming. I do know I watched the first episode and I text Chase saying, get me on. And a little delayed.
Seven seasons later.
Yeah. We had to do a couple background checks in order to clear the producers.
The addiction problem.
Yeah, yes. I mentioned the addiction thing. Yeah.
Right. There were some NDAs we had to work through.
We normally do a lot of cocaine before. We didn't want you to relapse.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. We had to clean out the closet a little bit. Here, cheers, guys. Welcome to the show, finally. It's season three. Wow. Took three seasons to get you out here. You schmuck.
I think a little bit of that falls on me. I'll take partial
blame. That's okay. That's okay.
Is it because we never invited you to a ski trip before?
I think that plays a role as well.
That is, for you listeners, that is why he is here. We're going skiing. Well, more specifically, snowboarding.
Yeah.
But that's what you say when you do snowboarding. It sounds really weird. It doesn't roll off the tongue when you tell people, I'm going skiing.
You kind of sound like a dick, too.
I'm going snowboarding.
Like, you sound like you're like a hipster. You're too cool for everyone.
Yeah, so, right.
I agree.
Okay, Dom, what are we drinking today, bud?
So we are drinking a Moscow Mule.
Boom.
The reason I picked this drink is the first time I actually came to Colorado to see Chase and Janie probably 10 years ago, 7-8 years ago. They took me out, and it's the first drink I ever ordered from Colorado. Never had it before. So I felt like it fit well for the time.
It sure did. Man, these things are so good. I don't have enough of these. They were really popular like 8 years ago, and I'm really happy to have them back here on the show. This is great.
They're not big. Obviously, I'm from Florida. They're not big down there. And then obviously, if you go out at nighttime asking a bartender who's very busy to make a Moscow Mule, they're going to spit in it. So, you know,
they're
restricted on when you can actually probably order these.
Yeah. If you're drinking a Moscow Mule, not in a copper mug, what are you doing? You know,
I've seen them serve it not in the copper mug, and it kind of pisses you off.
Yeah.
You're like, this isn't a Moscow Mule. What the fuck did you bring me?
Yeah. I'm paying $18 for this thing, and you're not putting it in a copper looking mug, you know? Like, it doesn't even have to be copper. It just kind of has to look like it, honestly.
Is that how much we owe you?
Yeah, it's by the way, you need to Venmo me $18 for these drinks.
Let me just do that. So you're drinking out of the Colorado cup, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a lawyer. Wow.
Correct.
Wow. I've got this thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, we literally talked about this
actually
before getting on.
I have 12 questions to ask your potential lawyer.
Do people get chummy like that with you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Actually, like, I know we talked about it, but is it actually in real life? Like,
it does. In kind of what I, to point out what I talked to you guys about, I keep my profession quiet. Not that I'm Batman or anything like that, but I just don't like people knowing it, because then they want to take advantage and say, hey, I'm getting a divorce with my husband. What do I need to do here or there? And they kind of expect free legal advice. And to be honest with you, I don't even know 90% of the law anyway. So yeah. I'd be giving them incorrect. Even the stuff I do know, I just Google.
Because the law is so nuanced. Well, the law is so nuanced that you have to specialize in that type of law, right? To really be effective.
You don't necessarily need to specialize in it. You just need to be well-versed in it because you have so many statutes. You have so many case precedent. You have all of this that you have to look at. And then the minute details in every question that's being asked. And so that's why you see most lawyers or attorneys that only focus in small, small sections because there's so much knowledge and it changes day to day to day.
Yeah.
But so shit. What state to state?
Do you specialize in currently?
So right now I mainly focus in condominium and HOA. I'm general counsel for associations. And then I do a little bit of landlord tenant law as well. Mainly on the landlord side, pretty much evictions, kicking old women out of their house can't pay rent pretty much is
to live on the street.
Yeah. So whenever anything kind of nasty comes up, they kind of give it to me because they know I'll take care of it.
Yeah. Well, you live in an area where there is a lot of old little ladies.
Yes.
So it's kind of perfect that you're like in this field. Okay. Can we just settle this right here, right now? HOAs, are they a scam?
So lawyerly speaking, and I'm not going to bog down too much legal speaking, every HOA or condominium, they're not for profit. So any money that you pay in, no one's holding it. No one's keeping it. But I think it's kind of BS. I'm sure your listeners know you guys grew up in the estates. I grew up in the estates as well.
Which is like an area that's like, it's sort of like the suburb of the Everglades.
Yeah.
Wooded, swampy area.
No rules, restrictions.
Shoot your guns.
Ride your four-wheelers.
Toilets in the front yard.
So I think going from something so extreme like that to an HOA and being governed is difficult. I don't necessarily think it's a scam. I think it's looked at as a scam for people who maybe are so used to living in the wild, wild west of the estates and then being restricted. But then it's not a bad thing because how many times did we have neighbors that just had a used car lot in their front yard or like we're shooting off fireworks at 2 a.m. or something like that. So there's times where it comes in play really well. And then there's times where you get what we call bored Nazi living next to you.
Yeah.
Where your music's, you know, a decimal too loud or whatever. And they're knocking on your door saying, you gotta be quiet or whatever comes up.
So what about, let's say I run an HOA. I'm the president of the HOA. I'm paying you overtime to do nothing. You're giving me kickbacks. Does this happen?
No. And I'm not saying that because I would get disbarred, but no. We run our firm. Pretty much what we do is we run general counsel. So if questions get asked, obviously we bill the association, but the billing that we bill towards the association comes out of your quarterly fees or your monthly fees, however you pay. Usually on a budget, the association will designate like 10% of their budget to attorney's fees that may come up. And then we take from that, and that's pretty much it.
See, but it would be pretty normal. I mean, if you were paying out like 30% to attorney fees, it's like, okay, guys, why are we spending so much? That would look a little fishy to
people. Yeah, absolutely. There have been a couple cases in Florida where the property managers, not the attorneys and not the the board of directors, have actually scammed associations. I believe there's one, don't quote me on it, that ended up taking like $7 million from a few associations, just was back pocketing money and pretty much ran away with it.
Damn.
And that's where I was getting at when I brought the question up, is it a scam? Because I understand like the HOA is like governed by the people who live in that area, but they pay management companies, they pay snow removal companies, they pay landscaping companies. That's where it gets lit, can get a little gray.
Where's my money going? Yeah. And then a lot of people get upset. So I'll be very upfront. I pay about $1,600 a quarter at my association. We don't have a clubhouse. We don't have a gate. We don't have a guard. So
that's like, crazy.
So it's like, where's my $1,600 every 3 months going? Because all they're doing is taking care of landscaping. So, you know, the normal person who's footing that bill every quarter is kind of like, I don't think it should cost this much. Yeah. So there are you know, hesitant people for sure.
Yeah. Cause like 1600, how many, without, give me a rough number of how many people are in your
about association. 200, about a little over 200 units.
All right. So I will move down and run that entire program. If everybody wants to pay me $1,600 a month, I swear to God, I will do an amazing job.
It's not a month. It's a quarter
or a month or a quarter. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, if we do the math, 1600 times that by four and then times that by 200 is their monthly, their yearly budget of what's spent on the association. Yeah. Now don't get me wrong. There's a lot of hidden things such as our roofs need to be replaced every 15 years, which they take care of. That project probably cost a few million dollars.
Yeah.
So you do have to allocate that. But I mean, it would be somewhat easy to kind of get some greasy fingers in it.
Yeah.
With board members and with property managers. It's harder with attorneys. We don't want to risk it. One, you can get disbarred. You lose your license. You're done. Your career's done at that point. And out of the three groups, the attorneys make the most money off of salary. So why am I going to risk, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars with what I'm making?
Right.
I mean, look, boys, we're always in the business of creating businesses.
Yeah.
And we came up with this whole steal cars, work with the tow yard gig. And I'm thinking we need to open some property management companies.
Property management, it is very, they make very good money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even just the property managers themselves, not even the management company, can come away with six figures.
Wow.
So there's money in it. And especially because like Colorado, Naples, where I'm from, there's associations everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there's, you know, three, four, five, six. There are every single neighbor is an association pretty much.
Yeah. I was just driving on my way over here. A lot of the land between this place and where I'm living is, and like this whole area used to just be farmland or just unused land. And so they're slowly taking more pieces of those farms and building more communities. And they were like, three, four, five communities being built, even new ones, that one down by the church down there that they started construction on. And I'm like, damn, every single one of those. I think some of them, is it like a couple of them may be like one have one master HOA and then they can have smaller ones?
Yeah, that happens. That happens quite a bit where you'll have a large overseeing association, which is your master, and then you have multiple subs within that kind of have their own rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'll pay to both of them?
Yeah, that's how mine operates.
Yeah, so you may have a sub you have to pay your quarterly, monthly to, and then your master you may have to pay a quarterly or monthly to as well.
Yeah,
so you kind of get double dipped, slapped in the face twice.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like twice the amount that you would expect to pay though. Like my, just to give you guys an idea, my HOA comes out to be like $200 a month, which is pretty good. I have a pool. Yeah. I've got landscaping.
All right.
Snow removal. Yeah. We own our own roads. So we pay into like, you know, obviously like the fund to repave them every so often, repair things like that. Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. You know, I hear too, like if there's a lot of disputes, they try to avoid at all costs getting lawyers involved because it's costly.
Yeah.
Right. So say like, you know, you parked your car in the grass and you're not allowed to do that. And like you get a letter and then then they issue a fine or a lien and stuff. You could just like ride that all the way. Maybe they get lawyers involved. Maybe they don't. Usually they probably won't.
It depends on the association. It depends on how much of an issue it is. Because usually when you do get a letter from our firm or any firm from any lawyer, a lot of people end up complying. Whereas if they get a letter just from their board and it's a friendly letter, like, hey, don't park there, they kind of just throw it out. So yeah, you run the risk of it costs money, but like I tell all associations, is the cost of doing business. But what ends up happening is you get a letter from our firm and those people end up complying and now you don't have to worry about it anymore.
So how does that actually work with the management company? Are they saying, hey, we have an issue, and then you spend 5 hours on it? Or is it like you're billing regardless of whether you're doing work to them?
So my main two point of contacts for any association is going to be the board president and then the property manager who oversees that association. And whenever any issue comes up, whether it's a parking violation or it could be pending litigation, as soon as they send it over to me, that's when I start billing on it.
Okay.
And my billing starts even with a phone call or an email. So if we have to sit on the phone and I bill at 0.1, which is 6 minutes intervals. So if I sit on the phone with you for 4 minutes, you tell me the problem. That's a 0.1 right there. Then I have to draft a letter. Let's say it takes an hour and a half. That's another 1.5. And then off of my hourly rate. And then they end up paying it every month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So that's not too bad. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's probably worth just having them spend some time on a letter to send someone rather than deal with the person that, you know, to have an issue for another 6 months or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's a case by case analysis, right? So maybe if your property manager's stern and you know the owner who's in not in compliance is a pushover, or, you know, as soon as they get a letter, they'll fix it, then handle it. So only bring us in when necessary, which we get brought in a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of issues, a lot of...
It goes anywhere. It ranges from anything from a dog barking too much to, roofing issues where we have to sue the insurance company and everything in between, such as rewriting documents, sending out those violation letters, setting up meetings with the membership, working on elections, things of that. So we're almost the unseen voice for all the decisions the board may make when it comes to anything when there could be some sort of legality behind it.
So you guys must have been really busy after the hurricane.
Yeah. We even, so not Ian, there was Irma, which hit, I want to say 4 years ago. We'll say 4 years ago. We just finished our last litigation case on it, I think like 2 months ago. Because the insurance companies, obviously the way an insurance company works is the more we can fight you on it and even nickel you down, we're making money because that's how they make their money. Mm-hmm. So we were in litigation with insurance companies for many years with Irma, and now Ian is, we're going through that same process again.
And that'll be for another few years probably.
It's going to be a little quicker because a lot of the Ian damage was to already Irma damage that may have not been fixed. Or since we already have a case that's been settled, we can just resubmit it. And usually insurance company's just going to take it off of that.
Yeah.
So right. is it really that bad? Like, okay, let's say my roof got damaged. Mm. Is it really that common for an insurance company to say we're not fixing it because
not,
of whatever?
Not that they're not going to fix it, but they're going to either... blame someone else, meaning the age of the roof. Maybe there was already issues with the roof, negligence on the homeowner's part, to where they can either say we don't have to cover it at all, or we're only going to cover 4% of the actual total amount. Because obviously they're making money then at that point, the less they pay out.
Yeah.
I heard insurance costs in Florida are absolutely fucking insane.
They're all leaving. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all the lawyer fees. Nobody wants to insure anybody down there because of how
there's bad a hurricane the every there's a hurricane every year, so you're not making any money.
Yeah.
So there's only about 4 insurance companies now, and since there's so little, they're almost monopolized, so they can charge whatever they want. So a lot of associations are now paying double their insurance costs that they paid last year.
That's which was already insane.
In a large amount.
Yeah. Compared when I bought a house out in Colorado, and I was talking to my dad who, he was telling me, oh, insurance down here for my home, you get flood insurance, this and that. And I told him mine, it was like a fifth of the cost.
Yeah.
A fifth of the cost.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I was like already kind of like, oh, that sucks. But knowing that it could be way worse set me a little bit at ease.
Well,
but
I
was just appalled at the amount that it costs to insure your home in Florida.
That can be true in Colorado too if you live in an area with fire.
So obviously in Florida we have wind and flood. What would it be for hail? Do you guys have to worry
about
that?
Yeah, it would be hail. There's depending on where you live, you know, you could live in a flood zone, you know, but many people aren't.
Yeah.
It's very like dry. You know, we're butted up against a desert basically, you know. And so I don't know. It's
certain areas in the mountains, it'll be fire. So there's actually certain towns you can live in where you can't get a company to insure you.
Oh, cuz of the fire department trying to get up there.
Well, so like for instance, there's a town here called Evergreen that's kind of off of 70. So if you're going out to the ski resorts, it's kind of off that way. And it's actually whatever they call like the most likely to have a fire in the entire U.S.
Yeah.
And so companies have stopped insuring people out there just because.
And you know why? You want to know why? because there's so many fires that have happened around that area, and that area
hasn't been hit
yeah, yet. So yeah. it's like when it does, it has all this dry stuff that's just sitting that hasn't been mitigated yet. And so it's going to ravage that area essentially. Yeah. If it ever does happen. I don't know when the last time something went through that area, but it's been a while.
There's also certain areas of the state where they have tornadoes. I think like the Northeast.
Yeah.
You know, towards Kansas.
Yeah. The what do they call that? The Tornado Alley or something?
I think that's like near Oklahoma. Okay. But
it's closer down there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got tornadoes out there. But in general here, yeah, it's not.
You guys' biggest fear then is icy roads and maybe hail. That's about it then.
Yeah, but the infrastructure is set up in such a way where they're so responsive that if they do get weather like that, it's typically not an issue. It's like mitigated immediately.
Yeah.
Like you go to places like Nashville where they like every, I don't know, 3-4 years gets an ice storm and it completely shuts down the city for an entire week and a half because they don't have a single snowplow in the city and they don't have any de-icing equipment. So they're literally fucked with like 4 inches of snow.
Get some redneck out. Yeah. He's like, hey man, I'll take care of this right here.
It's like Texas is a great example. Everybody knows like the snowpocalypse that happened like 3 years ago. It like crippled their electric grid.
Yeah. Couldn't handle the temperature.
Well, yeah, because they're not used to having stuff like that. And unfortunately, with like global warming, you're going to see a lot of those things happen where a lot of people are like, oh, dude, global warming, it was froze in Nashville. It's not global warming. Like, no, you're going to see wild, massive swings in weather patterns due to that. And so, I don't know. It's just interesting to compare, natural. Like Colorado will get like blizzards like every 5 years, like a bad, they call them sometimes, there's like a storm system called a bomb cyclone where it just comes and it sits and it just dumps with a tons of wind, tons of snow. And it's situated in a way where it'll just kind of hover over the city for like 2 days.
Yeah, so it's just nonstop snow.
Yeah,
you just stay at home for a day. Yeah, but the next day you're probably good
because it's just the ground, it'll just melt pretty much for the most part.
Well, the plows come out; they take care of everything. True. I mean,
there's
the plows
so
come
many
out,
of them.
There's
like
so many.
You start seeing snowflakes, and suddenly you see all these massive snow plows.
They come out of the woodwork. You're just like,
where do you guys park this whole time?
How'd
you get here so fast?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, there are icy roads though. Like this season, I think I've slipped twice on the road.
Jeez. Yeah.
And
I just got snow tires put on Janie's car because there's been more days this year that I've noticed the roads have been
icy.
Yeah. And I don't know what that's due to. It just maybe like the situation of the weather, what's happening before the cold weather, what happens after the cold weather. I got snow tires. Now it's like not really a problem. It's crazy what the difference snow tires makes on your car.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it grips the road.
Yeah.
And for some, like my car, the Janie's car feels like it's like sits up a couple more inches. Just the
because you got more tread on. Yeah. You got new tires.
Probably Well, when I went to the tire store, the guy was like, I was like, yo, yeah, make sure you put the tires that you swap the snow tires with, like in the back of my car, because when summertime comes, you switch them, right? And you guys like. Yeah, like when he did like a walk around the car, to check the current tires, and he's like, yeah, we were going to toss them because it only has like 10,000 miles left on them, maybe.
They're not tossing them.
And I was like, bro, 10,000 miles?
That's a whole year of driving.
Miles. Like, I barely use this car, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
He's already got them sold to his
this guy was about to fucking toss these tires. They're perfectly good.
Is the whole wheel?
No, it's just the tire.
The tire.
Yeah, but the tire is probably a little thick. The width of the tire is probably, or not the width, the width from the face of the tire is probably a little thicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I always thought when people get snow tires, they actually get a additional wheel with it. Like they get a set of wheels so it's easier to change. Otherwise, you have to bring it into the shop to do it.
You take the tire off the rim.
I'm not looking to, I'll pay the guy $50 to swap them out.
So they'll do that option?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all you do, and it takes like 20 minutes. I mean,
they have a machine.
I brought it in. in and I left and I was like halfway to work at that point, which is like 15 minutes later. I got a text saying it was my car's ready to be picked up. I'm like, fuck, these guys are quick.
So you went back?
No, I didn't. I
picked it. Let it sit. Let it sit.
Well, I want to let him.
Yeah, snow tires are cool. I feel like when I've seen videos of them online, you can see it's a very noticeable difference when stopping. Yeah. I think that's what it's good for. And then, but like ice is ice, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're going to slip on ice.
You hit a patch.
No,
yeah, it doesn't matter what you have on it.
It's crazy. That night after I picked it up, it was a Friday when I ended up swinging back. We had to go downtown after that. So we took her car because, and the weather was coming in and it was icy roads.
Like,
I was like, dude,
bad boys.
I already got my money's worth. And sure enough, like it performed like it was way better than I thought it was going to be. It was well worth the money. And the fact that you switch them out half the year makes your tires last twice as long now.
Yeah. Cause right? You're using them 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Or roughly around.
So I don't know. It's just, I'm trying to like look at the positives of spending another $800 on tires, you know, but
they need to make snow tires you can just ride all year long.
Yeah. And we haven't figured, it's 2024. Yeah. We haven't figured shit out.
What's going on?
First off, windshields. Why do those still crack?
Yeah.
Two, why do the tires still getting bald?
Yeah. What's
figure that on? Shit out.
Why do windshield wipers need to be replaced?
Yeah.
Come on, right? Shouldn't it just automatically dry itself all the time?
We don't even need windshield wipers. Yeah. The windshield should do it itself at this point.
Yeah. We're making implants that we can put in our brains that help us come faster, and we can't figure out tires.
Is this a real life thing?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
But we're working on it. Elon's working on it, dude.
First step, put it in the guy's brain.
Yeah.
Okay, that's done. Now let's make him come.
Yeah.
Give him some magazines.
Viagra was the first. Was only the beginning. So back to being a lawyer. So is HOA and condominium law like what you want to?
No.
What are you looking what are you looking to do?
So
what's the goal?
I'm gonna give a story here. I didn't even want to become a lawyer, I guess. So most people who are like lawyers, doctors who do these long educational processes, either they had a family member who was a lawyer, doctor, mom, dad. Or they knew at the age of four that they wanted to do this profession. So all through school, when I mean school, high school, I'm a smart person. I'm not intelligent by any way, but I'm smart enough to where I can half-ass school and still get A's and B's. But I didn't enjoy school. I never really did. But my dad always instilled in me, hey, go get an education. You don't want to work outside. You guys know my dad worked. He's a journeyman lineman for FPL. Works real hard. So his main goal was always, hey, go get an education, go get an education, go get an office job, make good money. So I graduated high school, ended up not really wanting to go to college, but I was able to get into FGCU, which is Florida Gulf Coast University, about 20 minutes from my house. Went there, didn't enjoy it, didn't care for it. I actually, after my first year, I was on the line of being academically dismissed because I just wasn't going to class. Like I was like, I don't want to be here. I'm not motivated to be here. Luckily, I took a couple summer classes, boosted up my GPA. They didn't drop me. I get into what would have been my junior year. I still haven't decided. I'm taking gen ed classes, getting a little bit more comfortable with going, getting better grades. But at FGCU, you had the class enrollment size is about 12,000. So it's a small, small school. So most of our classes were maybe 15 to 25 students in each class. So during our syllabus week, we did a lot of icebreakers to get to know everyone because you interacted in your classes. It wasn't a 400 person class. So during the icebreakers, it'd be like, what's your name, your major, you know, what do you want to do after undergrad? Where are you from? Whatever, you know, the basics. So this kid goes, he says, hey, my name's so-and-so. I'm a poli-sci major. I want to go to law school after I graduate. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I left that class. This is a true story. I left that class. It was American history after 1776. It was like a 10 a.m. class I went to. Left that class, went to my guidance counselor. I was in undecided majors, whatever we call it, undeclared. Mm-hmm. Went in. Spoke to her, said, hey, I want to be poli-sci major, and then I want to go to law school. Tell me what I need to do. She told me 8 months later, I took the LSAT. And what the LSAT is it's your law school admissions test, and it gauges you, and your score and your GPA gauges on where you can go to law school. The higher the score, the better the school you can go to.
Kind of like the SAT for people who haven't gotten into college yet.
Yeah, exactly. Works the same exact way. I ended up scoring very well. I scored in like the 80 percentile. And at that point, I was like, well, I guess I can go to law school. So applied to all the schools in Florida, got in. My dream school to go to, as you guys know, I'm a Hurricanes fan. They accepted me. I get a call. They accepted me like one day after I submitted everything. They called me and they're like, hey, you know, congratulations. We want to offer you a scholarship of $50,000 a year. I'm like, oh man, like I'm getting paid. So I'm like, this is going to be covered. I'm going to Miami. Like this is everything. Turns out it's like $100,000 a year to go there. So I would have been in debt even with that money, $150,000. So my next choice was between FSU and Florida. They're both hand in hand, fairly even when it comes to rankings. FSU gave me a little bit more of my scholarship, and I heard things about Florida that I really didn't care about, just like the environment over there. So I ended up going to FSU, doing well, graduating. As soon as I graduated, even before taking the bar exam, I was hired at the job I'm at currently. But I think being in it, especially the type of law that I'm in, I don't enjoy it. I mean, it's boring law. It's nothing exciting. So I definitely want to see myself get out. So about a month ago, I actually submitted my application, my background check to become an NFL agent, actually. So hopefully by the end of this year, 2024, I'll be certified. I'll have all my requirements, and then I can start that path. So I want to get out of law completely. Except for maybe helping college kids with NIL deals. But mainly just focus on being an NFL agent actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So are you like the representation or the lawyer part of?
So I could be both. Yeah. So that's what helps is having the law degree allows me to be, the NFL player's lawyer in case he ever gets in trouble there. But what they call it, they use the word financial advisor or financial consultant, because what I would be doing is speaking with whatever NFL team he's going to sign with and working on the contract negotiations and then working out on obviously endorsement deals as well. So that would be my main job. And then the way you just get paid is you get a percentage off of the contract and then a percentage off of the endorsement deals as well.
Nice. So the point about the NIL, helping kids with NIL, is that so that you can represent them later on?
So you have to be careful with that. So, but yes, but you have to be careful because if you're an NFL agent and you use your NFL agent hat for a college kid, they lose their amateur status and they can no longer play college football. So I would put my lawyer hat on and help them sign contracts for NIL deals. And then if they obviously want to stick with me, if they make it in the NFL, they can, but they're not signed with me as an NFL agent. So they can tell me to kick rocks, you know, when draft day comes.
Yeah. But a good foot in the door at least.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you know any NFL agents currently?
I do. I know, two in South Florida. And then I have a couple of other, connections. I have a couple of people I'm friends with in South Florida, who kind of run their own, I'll call them D1 establishments, where they're prepping already NFL players. And then what they also do is they help combine as well. So they'll train college kids who are prepping for the NFL combine. So I have that. And then I have a couple of close contacts with, past college football players who, have worked in a couple of communities with a couple of potential players who are coming up.
Nice. That's really cool. I worked actually for, I interned with a guy, his name is Elton Patterson. Shout out to Elton. What up, buddy? he's an NFL agent. He played for the Eagles and the Cincinnati
Bengals.
Mm-hmm. And retired, opened up a few Subways, some yoga studios, then started representing people for the NFL. I helped him out with a lot of like graphic stuff, like graphic design, like interned in college. He's actually one of the reasons how I got a job out here because they called him and he gave me like a rave review. He was like, yeah, he's amazing. You should hire him, blah, blah, blah. So if you ever need anybody to talk to, he's been doing it for like a decade now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, any sort of mentorship is, like I said, I'm brand new to it. So mm-hmm. any type of education I can get, I am taking. I'm humble on this process. Mm-hmm. So critiques, educating me, I am all ears for it.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I am more than happy to make an introduction if you'd like. So, so you're going to be doing the Ballers thing.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing the Rock Johnson. So
you're going to be rich.
I'm probably thinking I'm just going to shave my head. You know? I've been going to the gym, so I'm trying to get big like him.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to be him. Yeah.
Is this a transition period? Like you're still working, doing what you're doing?
So right now the firm doesn't know about it. They're going to find out probably in the next 2 months because I had to submit an application and a background check, consensual background check, and you have to put in all your past employers' contact information. So I'm 99.99% sure they're going to contact the contact point that I gave them for my law firm. I just don't know when it's going to happen, but they will know. When we cross that road, I guess I'm going to have to handle it on how they're going to treat me, if they're going to blackball me, or if I can kind of finagle my way into saying no, I'm staying with you guys and seeing if I can finish my career out there.
I was gonna say, is this something you do in tandem where you're like, you get certified, licensed, and then you know kind of do this not part-time, but like as a side thing to dip your toes in while you're still earning income to support yourself?
It would be difficult because when you are an NFL agent, you are a babysitter. You're an adult babysitter. You have to keep all eyes on these players. You need to know what's going on. You're traveling a lot. So to be able to work both jobs would be very difficult.
Are you getting paid by the NFL if you're an NFL agent?
Technically, yes, but no. So I'm getting it from the player's contract itself. I'm taking that percentage.
Right.
So in a sense, yes, I'm being paid by the NFL, but no.
So basically I'm wondering about how you're getting the actual players. So do you have to go out and get the players?
Yeah.
So it's not the NFL giving
No. Yeah. So like I said, that's where, you know, me knowing the former college athletes, they can, you know, I can shake hands with them and, you know, hopefully put a good impression on them. And then the guys at the gym who train the D1 prospects and the, you know, the current NFL players. So, and then, you know, hopefully once you get one or two, it becomes word of mouth of, you know, some guy's like, man, my fucking agent sucks. And he's like, hey, I got an agent. He's doing great for me. Here's his number. So that's the goal. And then even just finding that, my goal isn't to find that one needle in the haystack. It's more or less to build normal players, get 5 or 6 normal players who are on average contracts. You know, I don't need a Pat Mahomes. If I got a Pat Mahomes, I'd be happy. But if I got, you know, just a couple of regular like offensive linemen, you know, backup linebacker, the money starts to add up to where it's a good gig.
Mm. Do you think that this is something you could have gotten into if you had taken a different path after college? So if you hadn't become a lawyer, maybe done something else, maybe gotten the desk job. Do you think that becoming a lawyer and having some experience will help you in being an NFL agent?
So I had to get the law degree because one of the prerequisites to become an NFL agent, you either have to have graduated from an accredited law school or 7 years of contract negotiation, which is, if you're not a lawyer and you're doing 7 years of contract negotiation, what are you doing? So that was kind of forced upon me regardless of my path that I took. Could I have maybe taken the chance as soon as I got out of law school? I think yes, but with the financial situation I was in, I probably wouldn't have been able to do it because I'm sure there's going to be months where I'm going to be in the red. I'm going to be, you know, not bringing in money. So I need to make sure I have a little bit of a rainy day bank account set up.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this something you've always known you wanted to do? At what point did you be like, this is what I want to do?
Well, I mean, so you guys know I'm very big into sports. I played sports my whole life. I probably know too much sports information that I probably shouldn't know. So when I was young, like really young, I always wanted to be like a sports center, like broadcaster. So I knew I kind of always wanted to do something in sports, but I probably didn't think about it as a real legitimate job until maybe I was in my last year of law school. I had actually gotten in contact with one of my point of contacts now, who's an NFL agent, who kind of talked to me a little bit, told me, you know, what happens behind the scenes, you know, not just the baller stuff that you see.
Yeah. So at that point you were kind of thinking, okay, I'm going to write out this lawyer stuff and maybe that's what I'll get into.
Yeah. I always kept it in the back of my head, but it wasn't something like, hey, I need to work for X amount of years and then let me come back to it. I kind of stumbled upon it. So I've been an HOA attorney for 3 years now. And probably the last year I'm like, man, I know this isn't for me. Not necessarily being a lawyer, but being the type of lawyer that I was. So I've been kind of looking to get out, whether that was get into a different field of law or navigate something with my law degree. And then that's when I kind of poked around and you know, that back of my memory kind of came back in and started to jump on it.
Yeah. Is it hard to get into another field of law?
No. So unless you're going to get into something crazy specialized, most lawyers are very general. Obviously you may be at an educated disadvantage to where, like, if I were to get into, I don't know, divorce law, I would probably have to spend a couple months reading up on Florida statutes, you know, law, to make sure I'm, you know, well versed in it to be able to do it. But there's no issue. It's not like if I get out of you know, this type of law that I'm in right now, I would just be stuck to you know, a short little basket of choices.
And you never had any aspirations to make it to the Supreme Court?
No, I don't want to be a judge at all. there's too much reading.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it. I've never been a fan of that.
Is there a major, I mean, I got to imagine there's a major change between being any kind of lawyer, whether you're a prosecutor doing what you're doing, and then being a judge, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to know the law like the back of your hand because you're making a ruling on it. So you're going to have two parties, obviously, spewing case law at you and details. And you have to be able to say, well, you know, this case law doesn't work or this works here. So you have to be more educated than the two attorneys that are speaking to you in whatever, you know, the hearing is about, whether it's a motion for extension, whether it's an actual hearing on the case itself. So, yeah, it's a lot of reading and a lot of hearings. So just in where I live in Collier County, in their court docket, a normal judge will probably have about 15 hearings a day. Now, mind you, these hearings could be like a motion for an extension, which is 5 minutes, where it's like, hey, judge, you know, my client gave it to me late. I need an extension. So opposing counsel, are you okay with that? Yep. Yeah. So there are times where it's a 5 minute hearing, but they have about 15 a day. So you got to remember, if you have 15, you have to read about every single one. You have to be caught up on it. You have to know what it's about. So it's a lot of reading and a lot of understanding of whatever law is being thrown at you that day.
Okay. So no judge, no Supreme Court suits. No. I watched it. What kind of law is that? Corporate law? Is that what it's called?
That's corporate and fake business law. It's as pretty much legitimate as you're going to get. The only difference is the timelining between it. You're not going to have your associate who's going to get a 500 page, you know, docket in 2 hours, be like, yeah, dude, page 502, paragraph 7, this is wrong. And then you have a hearing tomorrow, right? Yeah, okay. What people don't realize is in any type of law, the length of time it takes to go to trial is insane. Because if I file a complaint against someone, they have 20 days to respond. If they respond, then you have a court hearing. Then you may have a motion for an extension. So even so, I do evictions, which is probably your quickest, most efficient type of lawsuit you can bring, because it's statute based, meaning the dates are set, and it's done. From the day I file a complaint to the day I can get someone evicted could take a month. Mm. So it's not a, you know, and in suits it's like, hey man, we're suing you, and you got court.
Yeah.
You know, in 6 hours. That doesn't exist.
I think the whole TV show was like 3 weeks worth of their life.
Yeah.
But they solved 1,000 cases.
Yeah, it's so weird because they don't there's no passage of time, like, displayed visually. Right. Like, they just, like, cut
tomorrow,
to the clock.
Literally tomorrow. Yeah.
But so they
tomorrow.
Don't tell you, like, oh, if it's tomorrow or if it's, like, 3 months
and
or
I,
6 months.
I, like I said, I've been in it for 3 years. I've never, and this, I think, happened a couple times in suits where, like, the paralegal throws something on the desk and is like, you have a hearing in 3 minutes. And it's like, you would know, you know. Yeah. You get emails, you get, you know what you have going on.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Suits. Number one streamed show of all time.
I actually liked it. A lot of people ask me about it.
Janie loves that show.
You know, they're like, oh, how legitimate is it? You know, do you like it? I enjoyed it a lot, to be honest. I watched it 3 years ago. I actually, probably the last couple of weeks, have thought about rewatching it.
Yeah. Worst part about that show? Meghan Markle.
Oh, man.
What a garbage fire of an actress. I'm sorry.
I didn't think she was that bad.
Okay. Come on.
Are you talking about, like, after the show? Like,
she got lucky, dude, because there's no future for her in Hollywood. She's
You know, you're right.
No, I'm kidding.
She's fine.
I'm kidding. She's okay. Don't get
jealous.
Me assassinated.
You're just jealous that she's, like, kind of a princess now.
She's not. She gave that up.
How does that work? So who'd she marry? Prince Henry? Is that his name?
I think so.
Harry,
right?
Harry. What? So if he became king, she would become queen?
Well, he can't anymore. He renounced his royal.
No, but I'm saying if he kept
if he didn't.
Because she's not, blooded, technically.
It would be a long shot for him.
Because she wasn't a princess. Like, she's not a royal.
Yeah, she's not a royal.
But she got married to a royal.
Yeah. It's like marrying rich, but you're not rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all seen Princess Diaries, right? It's like that. It's like that.
The problem nowadays
is... But Princess Diaries, she was in it.
She was actually blood.
Yeah, dude. That was her grandma.
But didn't she want to, like, marry somebody who wasn't royalty?
Yeah, it was the skater boy who used to wear the beanie.
Yeah, exactly.
I know too much. Oh, I got an older sister, man. That's my excuse.
Oh, we needed an older sister to watch that? Fuck.
Yeah, so... The problem would be, like, okay, there's not a lot of monarchies nowadays, right? So you're not just finding princesses off the street.
Yeah.
So you're either marrying your sister or you're not marrying a princess.
Sweet Home Alabama's coming on.
There's a bunch of dukes and duchesses out there.
Who are your family?
Yeah, it's got to be like second cousin, though.
It's cousins, for it's sure.
Definitely. You're...
Listen, all right. We've all seen Game of Thrones. There's a lot of incest.
I'm gonna tell
it happens.
I'm going to tell you something. Never watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, well. Whoa. Wow. Yeah,
sorry. Okay.
Yeah, just skip it.
Yeah.
Just keep watching
well,
Suits.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not popular anymore, but...
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, actually, that's
heard
really funny.
I heard it ended up shitting the bed the last season.
Well, it doesn't, you know?
That's true.
You know?
You're not wrong.
They got a new one out, though, that they're doing, the House of Dragons.
Like a sequel. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a prequel. Yeah, basically.
Did you like the last season of Suits? If you can remember it.
Yes, because, like Chase said, you kind of have to tie everything in, right? Like, you know it's ending. The TV shows that I like the best are the ones that get canceled because they end good, you know, because they didn't have to be like, the writers are like, shit, man, how are we going to tie this together? Mm. It kind of like, it's running beautifully. Whereas with Suits, with Game of Thrones, you have to end it. What is our ending? And now we have to reach it.
Yeah. Or it didn't end. And now it's up to your imagination to see how
Inception.
It ended. Yeah. Inception.
I keep saying that, and maybe I said this in the last podcast, and I apologize if I did, but I think that streamers like Netflix or Peacock or HBO, at the end of every year, they should put out a poll, and all the subscribers get to answer it. And it's, what show that we canceled
should
in the past should we bring back for one season? And we'll renew it. We'll money at it.
Not just their shows, but any show in the past.
No. It has to be their shows because they don't have rights.
No, they can buy rights.
You can.
That's what they've done for a lot of shows, like Arrested Development, for instance.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but that's Arrested Development was probably so cheap for them.
Okay,
to
maybe there's like a write-in. Maybe you can do like a write-in.
If it's under a certain budget, we'll buy it.
If the show got canceled, it's probably cheap.
Did Arrested Development get canceled? Because I watched about four seasons of that, and I'm like, damn, this show is stupid.
Original seasons. Yeah, it was stupid, but funny.
Yeah, it was one of those shows where I watched where I was like, this is perfect background music, like noise. Like, this is beautiful. You don't have to pay attention. You can just jump in.
Job is my favorite character of all time.
100%.
Of like any TV show.
Love his roofie bit.
Yeah.
Takes roofies
just
to
forget what he did. Yeah. Roofied him.
Have you guys ever seen, speaking of TV shows, The League?
Yeah, some of it.
I kind of gotten into it, and I like it because it's old 2000s humor, right? Like, they say some stuff that you can't say shit that they said, like, today. So I kind of like it, but it is a little, it's just scattered. It's like kind of all over the place, and it is kind of a repetitive plot over and over. But the jokes, the humor is top tier.
Is that, like, FX or?
I think it was FX, FX, but I've been watching it on Hulu.
Yeah. FX is like one of those channels that just doesn't have like one of those shows that just runs for a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have.
Well, what they do is they'll almost get like a show that'll last two seasons, and then something else will pick it up, and then it becomes popular on that platform, and then it continues to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Did you ever see, I think it started on FX, called Archer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that started on FX, and then I think that went over to Comedy Central or something like that.
Right, or like maybe just the rerun rights or something. Yeah, yeah, that was a good show.
FX puts out some quality
content. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, what was that? American Horror Story, I think was on FX. That's like probably their longest running TV show. Oh. That's pretty successful. A lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. I watched like the first couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think I knocked out a couple episodes.
Yeah, it got a little too like teeny bopper for me. Yeah, later seasons, you know. Although I say that, and then I'm like, I'll watch Riverdale. I don't give a fuck, you know.
People judge you for that.
People do judge me for that. I judge myself for that.
I mean, think you should.
I probably should not say that anymore. Probably should.
You've said that you've put this out on multiple times.
I have said that it to people.
Yeah. I mean, just watch out for those 15.
How does that come up in conversation? You're like, I love Riverdale. And then.
Yeah, they're like, hey, how about the Bengals?
And you're like, Riverdale?
Yeah. Did you guys see the Riverdale?
That's pretty much how it's gone when I've heard it in conversation.
Yeah. I try to interject it and everything.
Yeah. You're like way over. Hey!
Yeah.
Riverdale!
Yeah. Like, why did you just do that?
He does some production stuff for the show, so that's why he always brings
it up. No, I don't. I wish I did, because that would just be a dream come true. All those people are hot, dude.
Jeez.
And they're not in high school. They're like my age. Okay.
Are they still making it?
Yeah.
Oh.
The same actors?
Yeah.
Oh.
So let's
didn't, but didn't Riverdale the whole start thing, in like the early it was, 2000s, right?
No. It started in like, I don't know, 2018 maybe.
Oh, really?
18?
I thought that
17.
I remember,
sorry,
wasn't there a show called Riverdale like in the early, like late 90s, early 2000s? Or am I thinking of something completely different?
No, I think there's something different. There's probably another Dale some out there.
Maybe.
Yeah. But no, they're all in high school, and then, you know, like shows go, they age out, and then the whole plot changes. They like do the multiverse.
So are they
thing,
pulling? Are they rotating characters, or is it same?
No, same cast for the most part. There's like some people that obviously die, and they're no longer. A lot of the parents are no longer in the show because they themselves, the main characters, because they do like a time jump in like season, I don't know, 5 or 6, whatever the fuck they're on.
You got to make up for the new age.
Yeah. I'm not going to waste up time in this podcast talking about fucking Riverdale. I'm sorry.
I'm intrigued right now.
So it's ending.
Well, thank God. Now I can stop
now
watching.
Thursday nights are going to be available again.
Now I can stop watching. No, I don't watch it anymore. But because, you know, just, I
think it finished last year.
The thing is, you can only with shows like that are centered around high school, you have to fundamentally change the show when the characters age out.
Yeah,
unless it's a cartoon,
you don't look like a high schooler anymore.
Like a cartoon, like South Park, they can just be, you know, 12 years old forever, however old they are. Mm-hmm. Things like Riverdale. I was just watching Blue Mountain State the other day, classic. Which, like, you know, they're
it's
in college,
classic.
And you know, every season's a year, and they're and they're, you know, in the show.
But that
and
show
so,
didn't last too long, though.
No,
they,
it was
they
like
knew.
Three or four
yeah,
seasons, and then it was over. Yeah, but
it was cable television, I think.
Also, I heard
Spike TV.
Thad Castle, who is the actor for Reacher, what's his name? Alan, I think it's something.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
He wants to actually reboot Blue Mountain State. I heard.
Yeah.
Did he really?
I don't know if it's a movie or if he wants to do
series. That's funny you say that, because I was thinking the other day with how famous he is now with Reacher.
He blew up with that show. If you look at him as Thad and then him as like Jack Reacher, they don't look the same.
Completely.
They do not look the same at all. He's an amazing actor to have that type of role and then have the role he has. Yeah. You can see his range is got to be crazy.
Yeah, but also if you watch that show, it's on
Blue Mountain State.
Right now it's on Tubi, which is like a free with ad streaming service. And so I've been it's my background TV. One of the shows I put on the
background. You need to focus, because that is a work of art.
but it has not aged well. It's like it's very objective to women.
Oh yeah,
like there's jokes in there that you can never make.
You know what it started on? So that show started on Spike TV when it was called Spike TV at nighttime, became like called the Men's Channel or something
like that.
And so that's like the main show that was for the Men's Channel.
This is a show for men,
literally
nobody else.
Yeah, it became between Spikeball and like Teach Your Wife How to Cook show. It was bad.
So it's funny, and it still is funny.
Yeah,
but I could see how people would find it very problematic now. And so it surprises me that he has publicly said he's willing to re-engage in that show, because I was thinking while I was watching this, man, he's so famous now, I feel like he wants to distance himself from the show as much as possible, because people are going to bring up clips.
And he said, psych.
Yeah. So it's wrong. Like, you know, I don't know. But there's so many quotable moments in that show.
They made that movie, remember?
They did make a movie. The movie Thadland. They made Thadland, but then they also... I think they made one where they play the final football game as well, which came out like right after the show ended. And then Thadland, I think, came out like 3-4 years
ago. That was like a Kickstarter project. That was when Kickstarter was really becoming a thing, where people were crowdfunding projects. They crowdfunded this movie.
For and Thadland?
They made it. Yeah. I know that because I contributed.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I wanted them. I was still in college when they were making this.
So it was,
and I was like, this is a great show.
Yeah.
It was like...
Did you end up watching the movie?
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Horrible.
Most Kickstarter movies are not good.
Not good at all.
Because they're low budget.
Yeah, but
they're
like,
obtainable projects.
Okay, I watched it even with the mindset of, hey, this is going to suck. Yeah. Like lower your standards as much as possible. And even after I finished, I went... This is horrible.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is nobody's making sex comedies anymore.
Yeah.
Like that's like the genre that like American Pie, you know, all of the scary movies, all those that genre.
They don't make them anymore.
They don't make those anymore.
They would get
because
canceled.
Wokeism basically put a cap in that. Like nobody's gonna dare touch those or even put any kind of money towards them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of the reason why you don't see like Judd Apatow making like Neighbors or Superbad or Pineapple Express
That's
anymore.
That's probably one because of my favorite movies.
What? Superbad?
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
So, it's extremely quotable.
Instant classic.
Yeah.
Instant classic.
Just comedies in general, you know, face immense criticism when they're put out. And not only that, is not a lot of people will go to the movies to watch R-rated comedy. Because, you know, a lot of movie studios and theaters rely on the kids component. Like, take your kids to see a movie.
To make it a family event.
If it's PG-13, then maybe you'll get enough audience draw to the theater.
Then you run into the issue of streaming platforms now, too.
Yeah.
A lot of movies, I noticed, especially during COVID, they skipped movie theaters. Like, they just made deals with Disney Plus or whatever and just said, hey, we're releasing this straight to a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you run that.
Now mission. We're stuck with Barbie and Oppenheimer.
God damn it.
I haven't seen either of them, man.
They're good movies, but like, you know.
That's your base of what a movie is nowadays.
Yeah, it's movie going and film in general is becoming a novelty and a niche thing. You know, a lot of kids nowadays don't know who Natalie Portman is, or who XYZ that you would normally know in our generation, because all they know is Mr. Beast and YouTube stars.
Yeah.
Because YouTube.
Issue you run into that is like, it happened with Vine. When Vine became very famous, all these Vine stars, TikTok stars, then like made movies or they're put into movies and they're horrible actors.
Yeah.
So in the movies are just trash. And that's what they're, that's what like this generation is like accustomed to now. They don't know who an actual actor is. They think, oh, the guy on TikTok's an actor, which he may be, or she may be. I'm not. But
it's all about, I mean, it's all about fame. So it's however
who's,
you're
who's hot right now.
And so before we didn't have the short form videos, we had YouTubers for a while before that, but it was like, it was a little bit harder to get into that than just taking a video and posting it. A short video. And so now, those are the famous people and those are the actors. You know who I think was underrated in Blue Mountain State? Radon.
The line, he's the running back, right?
He was a Vine star.
He was a Vine star.
He was, that's right.
What's his name? Kennedy?
Yeah, Paige Kennedy.
But he was like the running, he was the running back, right? I think.
For QB. QB.
Oh, he was the QB who comes in.
Afterward,
that's
right?
Yeah. So the running back left the show after the first season.
Okay.
And he was like the token black guy for the show. Yeah, because there's a bunch of white guys basically on the show.
For a football team. Yeah. It was incorrect. If we talk about that team that she would have 0-12.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were national champions like three times in a row. Yeah, made no sense. Apparently. Yeah. But after he left, they brought in Paige Kennedy to play Radon, and they didn't replace the running back. They brought in a new QB because the QB in the first season was like some like God fearing Christian character type thing.
I thought Alex was the QB.
He's the backup.
He was backup,
and he wants to continue to.
That's what it was. Yeah.
He wants to have the name of being on the team, but then not
have
to
do the work.
Exactly.
He doesn't want the responsibility.
He's our hero. He's what we all want to be.
Exactly.
Give me the title, but not the work.
The underachiever. No, that's so true. But solid show. I was actually just surprised that. Somebody actually made this show, and the production quality is actually like decent enough. I was like, man, you wouldn't get something like that today.
No.
But with AI becoming, more obtainable to create things on the cheap, maybe we will get
Seeing emergence season of, 3.
maybe. You never know. Are you worried at all about AI like taking on a lot of like the responsibility of like being a lawyer?
Yeah, field? No,
like legal stuff.
No, and I've been asked this because of ChatGPT.
Yeah,
What you can actually do, and it's worked where you can put in a Florida any type of statute, any type of binding law, and then tell it to write you a letter. I mean, it can produce 90% of the letter pretty clearly within a push of the button. The issue I don't think that will take over is because, as weird as it sounds, you need an attorney who's personable with you, and you need to have that connection and understanding of, hey, this is what I want, this is what I need, can you get it for me? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people can't write that out exactly what they're like what they need. So that's where I think AI will always have an issue. Do I think maybe in like 50 years, with how technology is going? Yeah, I think every job could probably be replaceable with it. Mm-hmm. But in the forthcoming future, no, I don't really see an issue.
Mm. So maybe it'll make things easier for you as a lawyer. So like if you were to keep doing it, for instance.
Yeah, but I don't think you could. I don't think a non-lawyer or a layperson could do a lawyer's job just with ChatGPT or with, AI, especially because to submit most things into the court, you have to have a bar license. You have to present your bar number. So, I mean, you still need a lawyer to sign stuff.
What if you represent yourself?
You can do that, but it's not a good idea most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Because of the complexity of it, knowing deadlines, knowing when things need to be submitted. If you want to do it for small claims court, which I tell a lot of clients and a lot of people who reach out to me, handle it yourself, because small claims is anything that's under $8,000. It's usually like, we get into a car accident, right? And I have $3,000 in damage and you don't want to pay. I'll bring you to small claims court. That it's very simple, and judges know you're in small claims court. So they tend to kind of help you out a little bit. They'll be like, hey, this is, do this. They don't give you the answers, but they'll help out. Mm-hmm. Whereas once you get to circuit court, county court, judges are more demanding. They expect you to turn stuff in. They don't care if you're an attorney for 20 years, 1 year, or if you're a layperson. If you miss a deadline, you're defaulted. So that's why I would advise on getting a lawyer, having a lawyer for more complex cases. Now, like I said, with the smaller cases, yeah, I think, and I've helped out clients with it and filling out documents where I think they can handle it themselves.
So maybe AI can help in those kind of situations.
I think, yeah, absolutely.
But I think they have to be careful because I know some lawyers have gotten in trouble for actually using AI to create like whatever for their cases, and they've cited fake cases because the AI made it up.
AI didn't catch, and then the lawyer didn't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then somebody does a fact check like, hey, what is this case they're citing?
We've never seen this case before. Yeah. And then you can get in some serious trouble. Not because you used AI. They don't care how you get your information, but you're citing, you're giving incorrect information, which you can get in trouble for that, obviously.
Hmm. Good. Should.
Yeah. Why do they call it the circuit court? What is this? Like, what's circuit come from?
I don't know.
Okay.
Circuit.
Moving on. Hold on, dude. Let me just come up with some crazy. I mean, is there probably some answer that someone who's listening is going, what a jackass. Like, this is it. I mean, Google it. There's probably an answer. I don't care because I literally don't know. There's probably a reason for it, but it's just your tiers, your hierarchy, because you have small claims, anything under 8,000. County court is $8,000 and a penny to $19,999.99, and then circuit is $20,000 and above, or it may be 30. I think it may have gone up to 30.
Mm.
But it's your level of tiers, pretty much.
Mm. So a circuit court are courts that literally sit on circuit. Judges move around a region or country?
Okay. County.
Yeah, that's what I that's why it doesn't country. To different towns or cities where they will hear cases.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. If I hire a lawyer and they miss a deadline, and you default on the case?
You can go after them.
Yeah.
You can go after their bar license, and then you can go after them for any damages you receive, such as if you lost money, anything like that. So you would just sue them.
Yeah.
And then you'd bring a bar complaint against them.
You have malpractice insurance?
I don't. The law firm does.
Yeah, okay.
But if I went on my own, I would have to have it. And then if I go through the NFL agency thing, you have to have coverage insurance as well. It's a risky thing. I knock on wood, I've never had a bar complaint.
So I have an example. what's his name? The guy who says that Sandy Hook was a hoax? Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Is his name? Yeah. So he had that whole case where he owes like $1 billion or something like that to all the families. So there was something where like his lawyer accidentally gave the prosecutor all of his text messages or something.
Yeah.
So if I was Alex Jones, I'd be pretty mad about that.
Yeah, especially if it's a smoking gun. And a smoking gun, for those who don't know, it's pretty much a piece of evidence that you get that's going to win you the case.
Yeah.
Such as... you know,
it's like the golden ticket.
Yeah, it's the gun. It's the gun for the murder case. It's the glove that fit OJ's hand. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, yeah, he could go after him. Alex Jones could go after him if he ends up losing. The problem is a lot of people don't realize this, is when you want to go after someone for money, it's a two-part process. The first process is getting the judgment in favor that you deserve that money. The second process is go collect that money. Just because you get that piece of paper doesn't mean anything. What if that person's bankrupt? That person's insolvent. They have no money. If you can have all zero of my dollars, because that's all I have. So you have to remember that as well. So these people who are going after Alex Jones, what he's probably going to do is declare bankruptcy, and he won't pay him.
Yeah, at all. Probably. Like, he won't pay anything.
He may have to pay us if he goes through the bankruptcy process. What he'll do is he'll have a trustee who will then manage all of his debts. And then he may have to pay into it, and there may be some sort of payment plan, but he wouldn't pay anywhere near the amount that the judgment comes out to.
And once he declares bankruptcy, let's say he doesn't pay them, can they for the rest of his life come after him if he starts making money again?
They can. A way that a lot of people will do it is they'll garnish wages. They'll garnish any type of money that you have coming in. But again, you can only garnish so much, so that person still has to be able to live their life, like be able to eat, feed themselves, shelter themselves. So if he's making, you know, because he's going to be able to hide money. Let's be honest.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Regardless, whatever he brings in, he's not showing it. So let's say he brings in $50,000 and the estate says, well, $40,000 you need to live. Okay, well, you're going to get, so those families are only going to get about $10,000.
And that's my other question is, so yeah, he probably doesn't have like a large salary and he probably has some personal assets, but I bet a lot of it is through some businesses.
Yeah, so he protects himself. So he probably runs it through an LLC where he doesn't make himself a member manager. So then anything that he owns, his houses, he runs it through a trust. He runs it through an LLC. Any assets he has, he runs it through an LLC. So that way, if you sue him, just Alex Jones as Alex Jones, you can only go after his personal assets at that point that are within his names. So you'll see a lot of companies, they'll run LLCs for that reason. Or they'll put their houses in trusts.
Yeah.
Which in Florida, you don't need to do because you just homestead your house.
So he's like poor, but not really poor.
He's IRS doesn't think he's poor, but the IRS reads him as being poor. Yes.
Yeah. They accept that he's poor.
Yeah, but they'll come after me for, you know, $113.
Yeah. I got a letter in the mail once because like when HSAs and stuff came out, you know, like the consumer driven health plan, high deductible health plan, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I did that when the first few years that I worked at the first company out of college, and there was something in your tax filing. You had to enter how much money you spent on healthcare, and I didn't. And something got messed up. So then, like three or four years later,
they don't forget.
Yeah, I get a letter in the mail.
They will come after you for $37, but they'll let someone murder someone. Yeah. In front of you will pay the government. Uncle Sam gets paid.
What is the statute of limitations? Like how many years they go?
They can
back.
Go after you whenever they want.
I think there's like a limit, right?
I think it's
5 years or something like that.
It's more than five.
Yeah.
It's got to be 10 if there's a limit.
There's definitely a limit, though.
10 years.
So what if you fuck up on filing in 2004, they can't come after you for it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it says the IRS has 10
you
years.
You get away with it,
you're just sitting in your phone like, come on.
They have 10 years from the date your tax was assessed to collect the tax on any penalty or any penalties and interest. So if you didn't pay taxes in 2004 at all, and they somehow didn't notice, then
you're good.
You got off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I wonder is, let's say you didn't pay taxes in 2004 and in 2013, they bring a case against you and then you lawyer up, lawyer fights them for a year. Do you owe?
No, it's from when they first.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
unless it's still pending. So the only way you'd probably be able to exempt it is if they bring it up in like 2000, within the 10 year, and then you lawyer up and it fights past that 10 year, then they're still grandfathered in. Now, if the case gets dropped, then it's they're done.
So the thing that I figured out, or not figured out, but what I guess I thought of was what you should do is if you're making tons and tons of money, find ways to like fuck it up where you don't pay taxes so it doesn't look like you did it on purpose. And let's say 5 years from now, IRS comes to you, hey, you owe $10 million. And somehow you end up settling and only pay like $3 million, right? Or you do the thing that Alex Jones does and everything's through an LLC. So you're like, I'm poor, bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And then but you actually have $10 million in the bank.
Could do it. Probably wouldn't get away with it.
No.
They
beefed up this year.
Well, the government
last year.
The government jobs that we deal with, the Postal Service, whatever else government jobs there are, DMV, horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, trash. But you get them boys over doing taxes?
It's different.
Them boys are built different, dude.
So they're getting it.
Yeah, they're getting it. Yeah.
I need me an in on that.
It doesn't matter if it costs them $100 million. They're going to get that million.
Yeah. But, hey, nice. Sit at the DMV for 2 hours.
Hey, if you work at the IRS, do they come after their own, you know? Are you, like, exempt?
I don't know.
You know?
You're probably pushing stuff through.
Like, Jimmy, come on. Yeah. We're friends. We work together.
Yeah.
You can't come after me.
You scratch my back, I scratch your back.
Come on.
Go ahead and stamp it through.
That's what you need to become. You need to get into tax law, brother.
Yeah. Well, what if you're the guy who writes the audit software? You know what I mean? You just say like, okay, next person to audit everyone except Miles Anderson.
Yeah, skip the M's.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
We're just going to not do those completely.
Anyone who was born in this year.
Yeah. Dang. dang.
No one will ever notice their audit software. It's like million lines long. So you could put something
even
in
if you knocked out a large chunk. There's so many people, so many categories.
You're like only audit people with more than $100 million. Let's just say that.
I feel like, you know, TurboTax's days are limited. Do you guys feel like is that what you used to do your taxes?
My dad got screwed over in his taxes one time.
Using TurboTax?
No, because of using my mom.
Okay.
And he ended up having to pay, like, I think she filed, I don't remember what the story was, but he ended up paying like $25,000 to the IRS. So he's like, listen, I'm bringing it to a CPA. So ever since my dad's brought it to a CPA, he's had me bring mine to a CPA. And I asked him because I pay about $300 to have him do my taxes. I get no tax return. It's like, cool, dude, I'm losing $350 and getting nothing back. This is awesome. So I ask him, I go, you know, what is me bringing, you know, having you do it? He goes, when I stamp it and I sign it, you're not going to get audited.
Yeah.
They're not going to touch it because they know I'm not going to lose my license over this. So as soon as they see that stamp, they're not even looking. They're going to toss it to the side. You're safe. When you use TurboTax, there's so many glitches that could happen where you put in you miss a decimal or something like that. Or even TurboTax generates things incorrectly, maybe puts an extra point on interest. They check those hard.
The thing is, though, according to TurboTax, you're guaranteed. So if
No.
Right?
You're guaranteed if TurboTax makes a mistake.
Exactly.
Not if you make a mistake.
But he did. What he was just saying there's glitches or something.
Yeah, but they're not going to take blame for it. They'll change their
numbers.
I'll hire you as a lawyer.
It's more likely that you made the mistake.
Right.
So, like, that's the exact reason I got a CPA is because
they see that
I
signature.
Found that out
they
because
see that signature, yeah,
because that was the reason the IRS gave for why they didn't audit Trump's taxes when he became president. Because every president's supposed to get their taxes audited. And whatever, there was a leak or whatever it was, and they said that the reason we didn't audit his taxes was because he has a CPA.
Yeah.
So that's why I got one. Yeah. It significantly reduces, and that is the reason. It's because CPA, they're not looking for people necessarily who are being malicious, like trying to do things. Mm-hmm. They're looking for people who are making mistakes to go get the money that, because lots of people are making mistakes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And if you have a complicated tax situation, you should get a CPA. Yeah. But for somebody like me, who's, I just have the basic run a show.
Well,
it's not complicated.
I want to run that as well. My stuff's very basic. I'm not.
Yeah. You don't
that.
Need a
I
CPA.
I just do it because my dad,
yeah.
Forces
if you get out. A W-2, yeah. Maybe you get a 1099 from your bank because you made interest on something. It's hard to fuck that up.
But
it's like box two, box four. Just make sure the numbers
I know
match.
You know this, but a lot of people aren't that interested.
So you said you pay, what,
$350? Okay. I think it's a little bit more this year because I bought a home and then paying my student loans. So I have the interest on my student loans, the interest on my home. And then a couple other small things.
Yeah, so they charge a little more. Like if you had your
own,
if you had self-employment,
per, like per, not per paper, but something. That's how he charges me. But I'll probably pay $350. Yeah.
So if you went through TurboTax, you'd pay at least $50. I mean, you're paying $300 to not have to do your taxes.
And
all
Florida,
you gotta do is
Florida
give them all your
free.
Tax.
Is it?
Yeah, because TurboTax? Yeah, because you get free federal, a free federal filing. But it costs money to file with your state, which you don't have to because there's no state income tax.
Correct. Yeah, but the free filing.
You had to do it before March 31st.
Let's just say I never did free filing when I lived in Florida and paid taxes. There's like always something.
There's
like,
always something.
Oh, you bought Bitcoin.
You definitely would had to pay a little bit more because you had the house thing.
Yeah.
And you had the student loan.
Yeah,
thing.
I don't have just the
right. So they're like, own a house?
Yeah.
$30.
Yeah.
Like you
got
to upgrade to the basic.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta, it's probably going to be like $89 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm spending an extra, we'll just round up everything, $250 for the security of knowing that I'm not getting audited. I know I didn't make any mistakes.
And he's getting you potentially the best credits, or yeah. tax write-offs, mm-hmm. deductions, like whatever you're getting. Versus, you have to know those things when you're going into TurboTax. You have to know how paying your yeah. house off.
They're not telling you, hey, by the way, yeah. here's your math.
They do to a degree. They're like, hey, do you own a house? Do you have student loans? But like, there's certain other things you can do to try to lower your tax liability that a CPA is going to know. Like, yeah. there's a million of you. Right, like someone who's a high income earner who mm-hmm. owns a house who has student loans.
I mean,
there's income. Millions.
It's not high income. It's
the thing is though.
You're a lawyer. Shut the fuck up.
The thing is, I do doubt though that the money that they're going to save you is going to outweigh what they're charging you for your case. You have a very simple case. Mm-hmm. Like you're probably going to have to take the standard deduction because you don't own your own business.
Correct. I'm not writing anything.
The
off.
Interest that you paid on your house isn't going to outweigh the standard deduction.
He's not giving to charity.
Yeah, the only thing, fuck.
The only thing that I think I hit on, I think the house I'm close on, I paid a good amount in interest this year on that.
But the thing is, it probably still won't outweigh.
Well, he told me, the CPA told me, where you get your money back is on your closing costs. I don't know why. Oh. I don't know the answer to that. But sure. he says it's not necessarily the interest. It's your closing costs and your closing fees that you paid for. And then student loans, I think I get up to $3,500. Not back, but they credit me on it. For mm-hmm. I don't know the formula. But
yeah.
So those are the two things I'll get back on. That's yeah. it. But the problem is you two don't have this problem. But I am in the highest. I'm hit the hardest because I make decent money and then I'm single and those get just railed out.
Yeah. Mm. You get raped.
Yeah.
I was once not married and a high income earner.
And
so
then you got married and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
need to, save a bit. You need to marry you need to marry a gal who doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
and,
yeah. Or a guy. Or a guy. Whatever a guy. You need.
Right?
It doesn't matter.
It's a tax reason, bro. Then you're gonna really get the
yeah, and then
government.
Let's pop out some babies.
Yeah, yeah, or adopt, yeah, dude. Adopt.
Oh yeah, adopting costs money. You know, you gotta get it for free.
The freeway. I knew a guy.
You don't need to take care of the kid, but you still claim it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, yeah, yeah. So I'm in that. I'm that person or that group category that we get hit hard.
Yeah, there is though a value in the peace of mind. So I get that, totally understand that. So if that is what you know, if that amount of money is worth, you know, that was like $250 or whatever, you'd probably pay more than TurboTax. Then that's totally cool, man.
Yeah,
you should definitely keep doing that.
Yeah,
thanks Chase.
Yeah, so the student loan interest thing. So Sarah and I paid off her loans this year, and. So you get that document last year, 2023. So you get that document from your loan provider mm-hmm. and it says, this is how much interest you paid on your student loans and you can give it to your CPA. And it's going to be any loans, any interest that accrued while you weren't paying it. So like her loans were unsubsidized the whole time she was in school. Yours probably were too for law school. Did you have loans in law school?
I had loans in undergrad and law school. The only loans that were running interest were the ones from undergrad because they technically weren't frozen. So because as soon as I graduated FGCU, even though I went and furthered my education, those loans start building interest.
Okay, yeah. So hers were unsubsidized the whole time, and she had like $200,000 in loans. And so when we paid off the loans this year, we paid $20,000. It was like $25,000 in interest because it was all that interest that had built insane. Up.
And think about if you didn't pay it, think about, because I think they usually give you a payment plan it's 119 months. That's what mine, which no one should follow, but it's 119 months. Think about the amount of interest you would have paid.
Yeah. It was going to be more than we had borrowed.
Yeah. That's what's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking unreal.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my 30-year mortgage.
No thanks to Biden.
I saw something, and this is I'm gonna cite my source. I saw this on, it's not Twitter, it was
Conan?
Called X.
Oh yeah,
it's X. Called X.
Yeah,
I saw it had a blue check, so it's got to be somewhat legit. It said that he's trying to fight again to get rid of student loans. I saw it like 2 days ago, I think.
I mean,
it's a pretty reputable. It's a pretty reputable source.
He just
it is reputable.
Yeah,
he just. And I like the blue check mark. Like another $1 billion in student loan debt, like $1.2 billion.
The thing is, so all the loans that he's gotten the education department to forgive have been
it's for like schools that don't exist anymore.
Yes. So like Trump University University of Phoenix or whatever, you know, gotcha. Like those online
so
schools.
So I'm never getting touched.
Yeah. And then the other people are the people who did like public service forgiveness or whatever. And for some reason they had like become disqualified or what, like whatever. Yeah. It's like,
you go to, I think, 10 years in the government.
And yeah. And like some people would, but it was like, okay, if you didn't keep track of that and can't prove it, like the government didn't either. And then, so somehow they were able to resolve a lot of that, but it's definitely not going to be you.
Yeah.
Or you could just somehow sabotage FSU becoming defunct.
Say, what I could technically do is get it. So it's no longer ABA accredited law school. And as soon as that happens, my law degree doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. So crazy how that happened.
Yeah. Wow. Went from being a top notch law school.
Anyway, here's my bill for the loans. Take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all against us, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I heard they forgave Hunter Biden's student loans.
He went to school.
Yeah, and how to do crack.
Oh man, you know what, this is another annoyance, I guess, is when people know that you're a lawyer, they think I'm like caught up on all this politics. Like I go to the gym and this guy knew I was a lawyer and he's like, you see that Trump Supreme Court case? I'm like, dude, I didn't even know he was in the Supreme Court right now.
he's a judge.
Yeah, they'll like come and talk to me and be like, oh, what do you think's going to happen with, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I can't even name all the Supreme Court justices. Yeah. And you think I don't care about
you should just lie. Be like, dude, he's so fucked.
I'm going to be honest, dude. I have insider information.
Yeah.
Dude, 9 a.m. tomorrow. Be awake.
Yeah. You're going to see some shit.
That'll be $20.
Yeah. You remember January 6th? Yeah. Bro, that times two.
Yeah.
That times two.
Yeah, talk about March 8th.
Yeah, but that happens so, and it happens to me at the gym with like the older guys. They get like, I don't know, man, they get like a hard on like just talking about politics and shit. And I'm like, dude, I literally don't care.
That's a common thing for older guys.
Hard ons?
Yeah, well, no, not really.
That's an uncommon thing.
Just like being politics. Really into politics. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it just happens. Well, I don't know. Sometimes it either becomes part of your identity, or you just have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah,
which a lot of older people have a lot of time on their hands.
You guys know who Shane Gillis is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The comedian. He said something along the lines of like, "Yeah, dude, when I was young, like, I mean, I cared about like what was going on with the government, but like, as soon as I got like older, I was like more Republican, and like I cared about." He's like, "Is that like the thing? Like, as soon as you become like older, you just become more like just." Politicized in
here. That was funny. We were talking the other day. I guess I can bring this up. It should be fine.
Yeah, what were you?
It was like instantly Republican.
Oh yeah, it was like suddenly Republican.
Yeah, suddenly Republican. I'm driving down the road and I get to like a stoplight and there's those immigrants with the
squeegees.
And they come and wipe my windshield and I'm like, God fucking Biden, letting all immigrants through. Suddenly Republican.
Suddenly Republican. Yeah, it's so true. No.
But
yeah,
I think there's all these instances. I mean, I think people become more passionate because it's like they. I think that's what it is. They don't have a job anymore.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like
To be honest, and I'm not gonna say either side because I sit in the middle. And I go left on some things and I go right on some things. I think a lot of the older men, whether they're older people, especially being in Naples, it's all snowbirds. And mind you, there's people from the Midwest. So we have older left-sided people and older right-sided people. And it's like the loudest ones are the most uneducated too. It's like, you don't even know what you're saying is the craziest part to me. And they're spewing it as if they're like educators on it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is wild.
It's like, sometimes it's the old saying, like the quietest one in the room is the most wise, but it's also like, and I'll bring up an example that's totally unrelevant to politics, but we were watching Love is Blind last night, which is a TV show, a reality TV show on Netflix about, it's like a dating thing where you basically speed date these people through a wall and you don't see what they look like. Anyway, there's this gal on the latest season. This is very topical, and you're welcome, listeners. She basically says, I have been told I look like Megan Fox.
But I think I've seen a picture of her.
She does not look like Megan Fox. The hot ones don't need to say
they look like
something because or they are gonna hot.
Go, damn, she looks like Megan Fox.
Exactly. It's the ones that they need to say it to compensate for something.
Yeah.
So I think you could apply the same sentiment here where the people who don't know a lot
they're gonna
have
speak
to pretend.
And they want you to do this. And they're going, oh, I'm right yeah, to what I'm saying. Holy shit.
They say a lot of things that they heard that they liked on TV.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're basically just parroting somebody else.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're like, oh man, he's smart because he brought up a good thing about or a good
word,
point.
Uses words bigger than seven letters.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So I don't know.
Like
that's
limitations?
Just my
like limitations.
That's a big word.
Limitations, bro. You know words. Yes.
Tax refunds and audits.
Ooh,
those are small words. Dang. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it can be boiled down to that. I've witnessed some of that, you know, just like in corporate, office setting. You know, usually you do see like the guy that's very quiet is like, you know, he's like the smartest guy.
Yeah,
yeah, and he doesn't say a lot unless like somebody asks him, or he'll interject very like tactfully.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't say a lot, but he says a lot by saying a little.
But when he talks, for some reason, the room shuts up.
Yeah,
they know. Like
it's insightful too.
It's known. Yeah,
you. I hate. I don't hate. I a trigger or an ick, as the kids say it nowadays, for me is somebody who will just say something and reiterate something that's already been said just so they can say something
yeah.
to justify their existence in the room. Yep. You know, like, well, you didn't really, you said nothing. You basically said what the guy before you just said, but in a different way to make the same point.
You want
to
hear a crazy, this is kind of going to pull us off a little bit, but so I work out at the gym and I'm at the gym like 5 days a week. I go at the same time every day. There's this guy, he's probably in his like 60s, late 60s. And when I first met him, I'm like, this guy's fucking strange, man. So he's bald headed. And I think he has like alopecia because he kind of paints on his eyebrows and then paints on like a goatee. And then he dresses in like a dress shirt and dress pants and like these loafers in the same outfit every single day.
At the gym?
And yeah, and he works out there from like the time I'm there until like 9. So he's there for like 3 hours, but he always talks to everyone, like says, hey, how are you, this. I'm like, man, this guy's kind of weird. But over time, like I introduced myself to him and he spoke very softly, very quietly. He never spoke about himself, but he asked about me, what I'm doing with my life, what's going on. He remembered everyone's name. And so for about 2 years I had this relationship with this guy where every time I go in the gym I say, hey, how are you, he's like, hey, how's this, remembers my dad's name, like, you know, like weird. So one day I walk in the gym, I'm like, you know what, man? I live in Naples. This guy, he drives like a $120,000 custom chopper. So like,
Jesus.
Yeah. So he has money, but I'm like, what does this guy do? He's never told me what he's done. He's never flaunted anything. So I'm like, hey man, you know, if you don't mind me asking, if I'm not being personal, what'd you do? You know, it's Naples. You can find out some cool things. He goes, listen, we have a really humorous relationship. Everything I'm about to tell you is true. And I'm like, oh fuck. Like it's about to go down. So he's like, I'm German. I came over, from Germany when I was 3 years old. My parents, we lived in Boston. He's like, I went to school at Harvard, got my master's in civil engineering or something like that, then got his PhD in physics in Harvard. While he was doing that, he was like an adrenaline junkie and he would like go to shooting ranges, whatever, like skydove, flew planes. He met up with some guys who were ex-Navy SEALs. Mind you, he never was in the Army or anything like that. And he ended up actually getting in a 10-year contract with a special ops company located in Central America. I think it was in Costa Rica, where he executed 38 men over the 10-year span.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What would happen is he was part civilian, part worked for this company. He said this company wasn't affiliated with America, wasn't affiliated with a specific region. But pretty much what it was is he would have targets to go kill.
So this is a mercenary group.
Yeah, like a six member mercenary assassin group, and they would kill like head cartel for mainly it was for slavery and women abduction, and then a couple of drugs and stuff like that. But he would live in Boston, and he would get a phone call like every 3 times a year, and they say, "Hey, we're gonna fly you out." He would fly to Costa Rica. They would debrief in this room, and it would be the six guys, including himself, and then the commander. And the guy would be like, "Okay, here's your target. This is what's going to happen. And then they would spend the next 3 days, however they needed to get to this guy, training, whether jumping out of a plane, swimming, special shooting. If they're going to snipe the guy, they all specialize in sniping, whatever it may have been. And then they would go fucking kill the guy. And then the next day they would come back. The commander would be like, "It was a success." And then he flew back to fucking Boston and lived his life like nothing was happening. Did it for 10 years. Yeah. And then became like a stunt pilot or something like that. And I'm like, bro, that's crazy. The craziest thing. But this was my point taking, even though it kind of pulled us away. The guy was the most quiet guy, never spoke about himself, always asked everyone else, "Hey, how are you?" Remembered everyone's names, always, you know, was very, very nice. Ended up being this fucking pro assassin.
Yeah. It's probably because he's looking for his next target. Yeah, trying to figure out where he's at. What's your name, level? Dom?
Yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, you're safe. So now when I walk by him, I'm like, "Hey, how are you?"
Yeah. So one day he's just gonna disappear.
Yeah,
contract closed.
Yeah.
The entire time you were saying that, this is like kind of how autistic I am. I was thinking, is skydove a word?
Did I say skydove?
Yeah. The whole time you thought that?
Yeah.
Because I thought that for a second. I was like, I think you used that correctly.
I did too.
I would have said it wrong.
Yeah.
Wait, so did I remember saying skydive?
Yeah, because you were like, "Oh, this guy, you know, he used to
I think it would
something.
Be I think skydive. It's skydive. I don't think skydove is correct. I think I'm incorrect. Thanks for calling me out and everyone thinks I'm a moron.
No, I think it's right, but I've never heard it used that way.
I don't think skydive is a word.
He skydove.
He used to skydive.
No. When you say he skydove, you can't say he skydive.
He skydived? Add a D at the end?
Is it skydived?
Yeah,
skydove?
Yeah.
It says dive versus dove, right?
This is for someone from stackexchange.com who answered a question.
Were you on Reddit?
Kind of. It's essentially the same thing. Both dived and dove are standard as the past tense of dive. Dived, historically, the older form is somewhat more common in edited writing, but dove occurs there so frequently that it also must be considered standard. Wow. The rescuer dove into 20 feet of icy water. Dove is an Americanism that probably developed by analogy with alternations like drive, drove, and ride and rode.
So I got it right.
You did.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of autism, you ever watch Love on the Spectrum?
Of course.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's great. I love that show. It's so wholesome. It makes me smile.
Bro, they're the happiest people in the entire world.
You know that it's like one of the other reasons why I love that show, it's kind of meta, but like when you watch other reality TV shows, most of those people have ulterior motives.
They're putting on a facade as well.
They want to become C-famous, C-list famous, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Like, they're doing it for the clout, whatever. These people are so authentic. Oh, yeah. I love the authenticity when I see. I'm like, they're not putting on a show.
You don't have to edit that shit.
No.
Just put it out as
They are just being themselves to the fullest extent. And I love that. You can't really find that
now. In the beginning, I don't know if this is rude for me to say, but I caught awkwardness from it in the beginning because I'm like, I'm not you know, you're used to watching reality TV where everyone speaks perfectly, everyone looks perfect.
Yeah.
So then when you heard them speak, you're like, "Oh man, this is awkward." But then I learned, like, this is them. They're so happy and like I've enjoyed it ever since then.
Yeah. It also carried, and I've said this before on the podcast, I also like watching like reels or TikTok, whatever. Social media accounts of people who are like fall into that category because I haven't been able to describe why my discovery page is so full of it. But I'm like, I follow
a lot of those people on that show.
The chicken burger?
Yeah, he goes chicken bagger.
Oh yeah. He's great.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's 100% himself.
That's, yes,
it's not like a fake little dance or like putting on like the voice for your audience
he loves chicken burgers.
Yeah, like how, what's not to love about watching this guy just live his life to without any filter, just raw, unedited. It is him. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. And I had it for the longest time. I felt bad because I'm like, I'm not like watching these people to like make fun of them. But when you describe, I love to watch these people, it comes off like you're an asshole.
Yeah. Like I don't love to watch them. Like I love to go to the zoo. I love just seeing how I'll watch the show and be in a better mood because they put me in a better mood of like, hey man, life's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you have no complaints. Like look how happy everyone
can watch be. That show. Yeah. And then, you just smile ear to ear when I watch that, you know,
I like the nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Nothing like it. Like, goddamn. She was doing cameos for a while. Oh, and they were having her read, like, she was reading off because, like, you know, cameos,
hey, they give Justin, you a script.
Yeah, but she was doing some nasty stuff, dude.
Really?
Like, reading off, like, okay.
Oh, because whatever blank, someone wrote.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, some months later, she comes on, she goes, so everybody stop sending me those. My family members are getting really embarrassed. And I was like, I saw that coming.
But social media is in general is, you go on there, it's insane. Yeah. Like there's what people say, what people do on there. It's like,
there's a piece of social media for everybody for sure. It's so bizarre.
That's one of the things I actually really liked when TikTok started becoming really big. Because I think it became like, I know we had Vine, which is like people started getting more like that, but I think we still had a small set of people who were really popular on that. Mm-hmm. And then I think when TikTok came along, you saw people from like every age, like you're saying, people with disabilities, with things like autism, with like all around the world who were so creative. Yeah. And like I just couldn't believe how many people were like that, because our society has like entertainment, and there's like a small group of people who are in entertainment, like all the actors and stuff.
That's a perfectly thought of, and I thought about this the other day. Is like, to become an actor back in the day, it wasn't just off your talent, it was based off luck. Because there wasn't, you know, millions of cell phones out there.
You knew.
You had to run into someone and to become fit. While there's probably better actors out there who will never be discovered.
Yeah.
Same thing with singing, but obviously with American Idol also, and all that changes.
Played a part into that as well.
Absolutely.
You know? And so now, I mean, you still have kind of like the, you know, people who are doing things on social media, like just to be bigger, right? Like it's just like, come on, why are you guys doing this? But I think there's just so much out there that you can really find anything that you're looking for.
Yeah. There's something for everybody on those things.
Absolutely.
But, well, listen, man. Thanks for finally being on the show.
It means a lot.
Yeah, it was great catching up with you. I'm so happy we were able to finally do this. And let's not make it another, you know, 3 years, three seasons till we get you back.
Yeah, we talked about it. You can come back on.
He just texted me. Yeah.
Appreciate it. So maybe we'll try again next year, see how things go again, play it out, and then move on from there.
We won't take so long to approve your application.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So. It means a lot.
Yeah, and if you do start representing Pat Mahomes, you're definitely going to be on.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to be on.
And maybe you can hook us up, you know?
Next thing we know, we're sponsored by the NFL.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Catch us on Instagram. All the cocktails you see here are featured on there. Give us a follow if you want to tag along. And until next time, adios.
Bye. Go to bed.